know, boys, come over here in front of me. I want to see your faces. The county took a tax assessment of this property last month. They want $5,000.
Doesn't the church have to pay that?
They would if they were interested in keeping the place. But they aren't. The Archbishop wants to sell this building outright to the Board of Education.
What's going to happen to you?
I'll be sent to the missions. Africa. Latin America. Korea.
Forget it. $5,000, no problem. We'll have it for you in the morning. Let's go, Elwood.
No, no! I will not take your filthy, stolen money.
Well, then, I guess you're really up shit creek.
Oh! I beg your pardon. What did you say?
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
This is tape number one. We are going to tell you about how the world went and why we watched a bad movie this week.
Wow.
I like this movie.
I tell you.
It's not bad.
I tell you. It's just right bad. From the off.
It ain't bad.
So this week, Douglas.
Last week's movie, that was hot trash.
Which compared one is last week's shit. Movie again?
Our Little Children.
Our Little Sisters. Can't even remember the name. One week old.
I posted it yesterday.
It's like 1 week old. Or they'd still be... I don't know. I don't care. The movie sucks.
So this week, Douglas has asked us to talk about Electric Children. Mm-hmm. The indie movie from a few years back about a young girl who is thrown out from a commune. At the same time running away before being thrown out. Because she believed a tape got her pregnant.
A cassette tape.
Right.
Hello. What is that?
That's a cassette tape. But its purposes can be used for evil. So we'll keep it to those who can be trusted.
I think God got me pregnant through that blue tape.
Rachel, it has come to my attention that you are with child. I have contacted Ben Brooksby. His son, Elijah Brooksby, has agreed to marry you tomorrow night.
What?
I can see why you'd think this movie would be better. The movie that, if you haven't seen this movie, which you haven't because no one has, the thing you're imagining in your head sounds incredible.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah. I remember, I can't remember why or how I got to this movie, but I got to this movie in one of my various searches, and I remember actually seeing the trailer when it came out and wanting to, because again,
yeah,
the movie
sounds,
in your mind.
Yeah, that's sounds...
Do you make a top 10 list of the movies great. That Andrew will hate? Just roll through that?
No. I mean, sure, Andrew will hate a movie with that premise because he's weird.
Yeah.
But that premise sounds right.
It does.
It does.
Then the name of the movie is also pretty good.
Come on.
That's outstanding.
Something definitely got lost though. In
the
translation.
They were too sincere. I think that's the problem. They didn't. I guess the people writing the movie, maybe they wrote, from what I know of Hollywood, which is very little because I don't care. People write scripts and then people take those scripts and make different moves. Like, this sounds awesome. What if we change all of this?
They're just like, I know this is what's on the page, but you know what? You just do that. Let's throw that out.
And the truth of the matter is, this movie is not a bad movie. I don't know why Andrew is spitting so much fire.
Yeah.
Right?
Trust me.
This movie, because there are things about it. I definitely...
Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't given my real opinion on this movie. This movie is bad. Okay. I'll continue though.
So I definitely laughed at the earnestness of these kids every once in a while. You know, when they're like, I've never
Never have I ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Had a hamburger.
I've never spoken on a cell phone. Mm-hmm. Or she says, no, it is an immaculate conception. I absolutely got pregnant by listening to cassette tapes.
When she peed on a stick and was pregnant, and the movie made it clearer that, no, dog.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't the rough housing and then we cut away. This cassette player impregnated this girl and went, this is a crazy shit I've seen in a long time. And then the movie just decided, but what if we take a serious view on it? No, dog.
I think we should sell all cassette tapes with their own condoms to protect the ladies.
That's what the case the is for.
Oh, sorry.
But
isn't that what CNC is? Sets and condoms?
Yeah, but and the thing about this movie too is that while I was watching, I was always expecting an explanation, right? And it never came. You said to yourself, all right, we are in the real world. This is not some sort of fantasy movie. This is not some ridiculousness.
There's no plastic bag jellyfish. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, God, I forgot about that movie.
That movie is so good. It's the best movie ever.
He gave us
concerned that I haven't watched any more of their movies because they seem equally as ridiculous and potentially as good.
I'm afraid I just keep watching that one because I love that one. I don't want to tarnish.
Yeah, the
just the spectacular reputation that I've built up in my head.
But so for this movie from day one, you're grounded, right? So you say, okay, clearly she thinks this has happened, but we know, right? You're talking to the director here. You're like, you and I know it didn't. And you need to tell me. You don't need to tell me outright, but you need to at least give me a hint here. What went down?
Let me know that everyone, the only person that should be in disbelief, that should believe the madness is her.
Exactly.
And everyone else should have said, man.
Which is kind of how the movie is. Everybody else is just as skeptical as the rest of us, all going like, we know what magic needs to happen in order for this endpoint. The only thing all of us don't know is who.
Yeah.
Right? And we're just going to keep going with this until hopefully she tells us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or hopefully she gives us a story that leads us into a little corner where we're like, oh, maybe that's who it was. Yeah. Or she just doesn't understand because she's so innocent.
Is it time we take narration out of movies?
No.
Voiceover narration.
I have seen the one movie that makes us not want to have narration in movies anymore. And more importantly, to take it away from a certain person. It's not this one.
I've seen a couple.
Vicky Cristina Barcelona?
Yeah, no. That one is also terrible.
I watched the latest Terrence Malick movie and is it
bad? The one about the birth of the universe?
No. The one with Christian Bale, which is really about Hollywood or some shit.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah. I want to let you know. Andrew has found out that movie is going to be playing at TIFF on IMAX. And he is trying to convince me to go watch it with him.
The birth of the world.
Whatever it is. I don't even know what it's about. I just know it's Terrence Malick.
And then it says Malick.
I didn't mean to hijack this with Terrence Malick discussion.
Yeah. But that's
time.
That's an issue with this movie. You keep expecting an explanation and you don't get it. And at the end of the movie, you're still uncertain. You're still saying, all right, we all know.
Right.
And it's a situation where she is sincere in her belief. And a lot of other people, most people are like, yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, we'll
roll with.
Yeah.
Because she's clearly.
And I have to say, though, Billy Zane is in this movie.
I saw his name pop up and I'm like, oh no.
Oh my goodness.
Oh no.
It was fine. You mean Billy Zane from Zoolander?
Yeah, Billy Zane from Zoolander.
No. Billy Zane from The Phantom was in this movie. Zoolander, Billy Zane was not in this movie.
Cool. Billy Zane.
Yeah, he was from the Titanic.
And I just see his face and go, Billy Zane.
I have to tell you, every half an hour I was like, okay, so when are you going to tell me that Billy Zane had sex with his child? And she just didn't know. Because it's... And that's the frustration that you have with this movie. And it's hard to get past that even with the giggles that you come out of this sort of earnestness and ridiculousness that happens by putting this uber conservative and real sheltered people into real life. But I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, it was an okay movie. I didn't gouge my eyes out. I didn't think that I lost time.
Wow, that is
a
high bar.
No, I know.
How many movies
what I'm trying to do
at?
Is I'm trying to what
are,
I'm trying
you
to say is Andrew, I don't
Arrow?
Know what
are you
I don't know where
Arrow?
You're going to go with this. But saying that this is pretty bad is not a good thing. This movie was fine. It was adequate.
If you're right, don't defend it too hard, because Andrew's just going to poke holes. Plus, last week you said a thing that will
don't
live on in infamy. Anytime
reasons.
Anytime you feel backed into a corner, you can just fall onto that gem.
Douglas,
oh.
I don't need reasons.
I don't need
to reasons. Like
I need
movie.
The feels is what I need. This movie, the premise sounds whimsical, but the movie is severely lacking in whimsy. That is the problem I had. All of the things that happen in the movie also are pretty whimsical. There's just a lot of things that just happen. There's one point towards the end where a guy is driving a truck and it breaks down on the side of the road, and it just so happens that the only people who are heading the exact same way as him find him, right? Well, you guys could have played with this movie more, because the premise is stupid. And all the people in this movie are lunatic. Like, she leaves the commune and she goes into town, and there's a guy playing a guitar, and she's like, I'm looking for a guy younger than you that also plays the guitar. And he's like, you can go down to there where young people hang out, a thing no one on earth has ever said to anybody. And then she goes down there and finds young people who play the guitar and do drugs and skateboard and all the things. When you look up on Google, what is a millennial? You type that in Google, like, they're just printing out people from Google.
You just see a picture of Rory Culkin,
and you just go, yeah.
Or is it that you see a definition of millennial?
No, you just see, it's just a picture, yeah. And and you just wanted something like this movie.
Could have been so good.
As much as it pains me to say it, this movie could use some French whimsy, specifically French whimsy.
Like, at least,
yes.
So Damien, are you saying
literal,
that I picked the anti-French movie?
No, you picked the movie that could have used an injection of French nonsense. I can see a different director of making this movie. A solid movie. This movie is like, it's mediocre. Like, you, back when TV used to be a thing, there was a channel called the Movie Channel. This is a movie that belongs on that channel.
Is this a movie that belongs on our channel during That Guy Thursday?
Yeah. Just, oh yeah, that guy. I know him. Billy Zane, that guy. Yeah, that's what, back when TV was a thing, and you just went, alright, cool, I'll watch some TV. I'll watch a Movie Channel, because why not? And you see this movie, like, boy, that movie's crazy. And you just move on with your life. It wasn't, like, I know I probably shouldn't do this, because I'm hating on a movie that I am never going
to
see again.
Keep doing it.
Last week's movie was such a ball of burning garbage. it is basically what the Arrow is to Douglas. Our little sister is to me. Where everything benchmarked against that, you go, no, it wasn't 2 hours of mindless emptiness, nothingness. No, this movie, it's fine. I can't watch this. Don't be like kicking the television. This movie is okay.
So I'm up against. We're sad we didn't get an answer to who banged the chick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better than Arrow. That's what I'm up against right now.
It's up against. Like, I like it, but it was severely lacking in whimsy. That is what this movie needs.
Yeah.
So my issue with this movie, isn't that it's that much of a hot flame, right? I mean, it's. what it is exactly what Damon is saying. It's ridiculously mediocre. And so many times where it had potential, because there's so many movies, like take for example Our Little Sister, right? Which
that's not it.
Which
that's
fine, if we were to try to come up with a elevator pitch for why someone should watch Our Little Sister, mm-hmm. it is impossible to get someone to watch Our Little Sister. If mm-hmm. I just mentioned the elevator pitch for this movie at the beginning of the podcast, and immediately everyone's going to want to watch this movie, right? Because the concept on its own, the premise idea on its own is just so whimsically weird and fantastic that your brain can go in 20 different directions as to what this movie could do, and you're going to hopefully have a good time with it, right? This movie, on the other hand, has no good times, right? There are times where I'm not certain whether it's the writer is making a joke about the characters for me to laugh at with their sincerity, or if the characters are making jokes within their own little world the way we make jokes to each other. But for the most part, all of those moments where I sat there and maybe I might have laughed at something because it was that dumb, or someone just took the fun with something, at no point did the movie make me feel like that was something that they wanted to have a continued effort of, and nothing that made me want to have any sort of momentum with the story where I cared that much, right? It felt like a movie that, like how you talked about Our Little Sister, about the movie that people must hate film snobs for because they talk about, this feels like a bad copy of the movie film snobs talk about because it's indie and they're cool because they're punk and mm-hmm. she gets to listen to weird music and she gets to experience her life for the first time and does all of these things. And then of course what makes it even worse is that as this movie is ongoing and we eventually hit the back half, right, there become so many weird contrivances, so many just mm-hmm. conveniences of the story that I'm like, holy shit, this movie didn't go that far, right? Like, the Mustang. When the Mustang comes back, I'm like, no, this movie can't be thinking of doing that just for the sake of it.
Yeah, right? And did you notice that it, at least 5 or 6 times, it passed you in the background to kind of imply that, ooh, it's something mystical that is about to happen. It was...
And there are movies that I've seen and I love about, which do that, which have this weird mysticism to the real world. Mm-hmm. Right?
Midnight in Paris.
But this movie didn't have what it needed to make all of those things come together and work in a way that made me in any way endeared towards it. It's a movie that, if you were to put it on the graded scale, I would be hard-pressed to put a 0 or a 1. But when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I didn't care so much watching this movie that it probably deserves to be that.
The man does not like your movie.
No, he doesn't.
Thinks it's bad. In fairness, you don't really like this movie.
It's all right. It's mediocre. Yeah.
This movie's a 1-star.
I think we should just have the Mad Max mediocre just on the button.
I mean, I've said that many times and you guys refuse to listen.
Yeah.
It's probably for the best. Nah, come on, that was a
We're so glad to see so many of you lovely people here tonight. We would especially like to welcome all the representatives of Illinois' law enforcement community who have chosen to join us here in the Palace Hotel Ballroom at this time. We certainly hope you all enjoy the show. And remember, people, that no matter who you are and what you do to live, thrive, and survive, there are still some things that make us all the same. You, me, them, everybody.
Do you guys have anything you want to talk about?
Can I talk about the Olympics again?
Well, it's over. What do you have to talk about?
I want to watch it again.
You could do that.
I can't do it. No, you guys are BBC.
That's true. So, mm-hmm. I kind of half mentioned it. I saw a Terrence Malick movie.
Why did you do this to yourself?
Because you know why I did this to myself.
No, we've spoken about him all the time. And every time his name comes up, there's just anger.
From you guys.
Yeah.
Me, I haven't been angry yet. About Terrence Malick.
To the Wonder.
Oh, right. Oh. I forgot about it. Oh. I've wiped that one from my memory.
So there was also A New World.
Yeah.
So actually, it's just essentially any movie that he has done, except for me, I like Badlands. But there's not even that for
Daniel. What's that one with Brad Pitt and...
Oh,
it's that shitty movie.
The dinosaur one.
Yeah. Tree of Life.
There you go. I didn't watch that.
Oh, Douglas. Sweet Lord. Oh,
it's so good.
That movie is the hottest trash.
So the way I framed the conversation on the internet the minute that I watched this was that I've seen two movies this weekend.
Yes.
I watched, I've already forgotten the name of the movie, Knight of Cups.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Now You See Me 2. No, You See Me 2 was a better movie than Knight of Cups.
Word.
I don't think that's difficult, to be fair. It is a Terrence Malick movie.
I'd like to think for me that's difficult.
No, well, if you want to say so, I don't...
Here lies the thing, and it's weird because...
At least things will happen in Now You See Me 2, right?
You won't like those things. You'll go, why am I doing this? But at least... Like Knight of Cups? Oh. Are you serious?
So the thing that I love about Terrence Malick movies... Mm-hmm.
Is that the end. That's the thing I love about him too. Eventually, if I can stick it out and focus.
So from Badlands all the way up to Tree of Life, is that even when they're not like perfect through plot lines of what's going on, they have like this great... emotive feel about them going through. To the Wonder and Knight of Cups seems to have done this weird thing where Terrence Malick himself seems to have lost himself in his own style. Where all like even when you watch all of these movies going through from Badlands all the way up, you see that he started off with a relatively normal the way movies are made. You know, you see characters do things, they have conversations, then they go and have adventures. And then slowly but surely, he moves forward and he does a lot more narration, a lot more lack of specific dialogue scenes where characters are talking and you see witness them talking and you have these 1-2-shot scenes. And he then eventually hits the point where he pretty much has no direct dialogue scenes. They're just all narration. Weirdly enough, watching Knight of Cups and To the Wonder, I've gotten this feeling that he's forgotten, and Damon is going to say, but he didn't ever know this at all. He's forgotten that there needs to be some sort of thing to latch onto, as opposed to just having a pretty camera shot and a contemplative narration where someone is being pseudo-psychological about life and philosophical and whatever. And he just kind of just said, okay, I'm done, and moves on.
So this is Terrence Malick we're talking
about,
right?
Yes, this is Terrence Malick we're talking about.
I'd like to let you know, or not let you know, because you know, I'd like to remind you that both myself and Damien called that from the first... So I can't remember if we watched... I think we watched Badlands first.
I think it was New World we watched first.
The next... Okay, then it is the first movie that you made us watch. Mm-hmm. Because... From The New World. That's exactly what... Damien, wouldn't you say that's exactly like what we
word
said?
Word for word. He just gave us back a review.
I mean, because you realize The New World... what little I remember, because I've tried very hard to block it out, is that it would just be nice pictures followed by nice pictures followed by nice pictures. And the pictures never really connected or made any sense. Because... nothing happened.
I mean, it makes sense, Andrew. And that's what's important.
So, that's essentially what his movies are. I remember that I watched, maybe recently, maybe within the last 2 or 3 years, another Terrence Malick movie of my own accord, which I don't know why I did it.
You're drunk.
Probably. It was The Thin Red Line.
Mm-hmm.
And I... remember when it came out, people crazy
lost
over
their
it.
Minds. Sorry, the one
and,
that's supposed to be good.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is it has people that I love, right? It has Woody Harrelson.
He's in Now You See Me Too.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now I know that that's not necessarily a good decision, Andrew. But I'm just saying. But it has people that, you know, you kind of want to watch. I think Sean Penn is in there. If I remember correctly, John Cusack is in there as well.
There are a lot of people.
There are people that you say, oh, I like this and this and this and this from them. So let me try. And
George Clooney is in that movie.
Yeah, I think he is. Right. What I actually got from that movie wasn't that I liked it because I didn't like that movie. But I recognized that I think me not liking the movie was... I don't want to say it's a problem with me because that's not the problem.
That's never the problem.
No, it's a connection issue, right? And I even said it jokingly. I remember, I think when I put it on Letterboxd, I said, I realize now this movie made me understand that I've just been watching all his movies wrong. Because one thing that I appreciated from this movie was what he did with the army and the people in the movie and how they moved. And when I was watching it, I realized that John Cusack individually or Woody Harrelson wasn't necessarily the point or wasn't necessarily what I think he was really focused on. It was more the group and how the group moved and you know, that kind of thing and the aesthetics of it. And I realized in order to appreciate that enough to like a movie, you have to really be in another mindset. You have to really understand, this is what I'm doing. Right? This is what I'm here for.
Mm-hmm.
And not let's try and see. Exactly.
No,
exactly.
I don't come to movies
and
for
let's
stories.
Try and see what
you come to it for fixment. I come to it so that I can look at the pretty pictures and fall asleep.
Yeah. But
actually, you made me think of this thing. You know I love these videos. Tony Joe's videos.
Oh, yeah.
Every frame
printing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has one video where he's talking, I think, about Lynn Ramsey. And he starts it by asking, what do you think it means when someone says a movie feels poetic? Right? Or at least, what does it mean to you? And he went on to his own definition where he talks about the idea of a movie where you no longer think of the plot or the story, like you just have a feeling that you have from what you see. Like you see images move from image one to image two to image three, and weirdly enough, you kind of just have a happy feeling going through these images. Like, even though I said happy, I don't really necessarily mean that you're jovial or anything like that. And he ended up talking about Lynn Ramsey, and that's kind of how I feel when I talk about movies, like a lot of the Terrence Malick movies I love, and even another one that you guys debate me on a lot, Upstream Color, and stuff like that, where those films to me are poetic filmmaking. They're movies that move from image to image, and I don't necessarily, even though I will come and I'll talk to you guys about the plot and the story, while I'm watching it, I'm not necessarily focusing perfectly on that. I'm focusing on images and I'm focusing on feelings that the movie gives me. And The Thin Red Line is one of the movies where I feel the poetic nature of Malick works best, because you're talking about not thinking about these characters. I see that movie perfectly as one of the films where the people don't matter because it's war, right? There's so people talk about the fact that war is one of those things that are never.
Yeah, war. What's it good for? Absolutely nothing. Yeah, I know.
It's good for the economy. One of the things that people love to talk about with war movies is the fact that movies on the surface constantly glorify anything that's in them, right? So people like to talk about the fact that war in the real world is a bad thing. We don't like wars, right? We only talk about it as something that either we have to do right now because of a really bad situation, or something that we had to do back then and this is the outcome that happened, right? And we talk about other interesting things. But with movies, people always like to be very tentative about what movies try to glorify and not. So all of the conversation about women in film every situation there's an opportunity to talk about misrepresentation. They're talking about it because movies glorify these things. They amp up the conversation. And Terrence Malick's Thin Red Line was the first movie where I don't think anyone could legitimately watch it and think war looked cool, right? Other than pretty pictures, right? And it felt like it was all because of his poetic style of making the film come together. That was just Thin Red Line. Knight of Cups sucked balls.
I'm fighting the urge to strangle Andrew. Every time he says the words poetic in regards to film, it's like a trigger word for pretentious guy. Like, but in my head, that's what I'm hearing. It's like an alarm going off.
But Damien, I can understand when somebody says, yes, this movie is poetic, because I would say probably a movie like Oh, Captain, My Captain,
mm-hmm.
is poetic.
Right.
I would say probably a movie like Howl is poetic. I would say...
Rush Hour, I think, is also...
No. No.
No?
No, that's no, not that's poetic. Not
Before Midnight?
Uh-huh. No, that's not poetic either. Okay. Actually, Before Sunrise is poetic. And perhaps one could argue that Biggie Smalls... biopic the other day was poetic because, and I'll tell you why, right? And it's plain, it's simple. All of those movies had one or the other version of poems in them.
Right.
That's why they're yes, isn't that what?
That's a better explanation. And all right, Andrew, you said these movies feel poetic. How many poems would you say in your life? Just give me like a ballpark figure. How many? You have some books over there. Bring me one book of poetry. Do you write poetry?
I write code. Does that count?
No, it really does not.
You were in a poetry club.
I was. Oh, so good. You know what we talked about in poetry club?
What did you talk about?
That is what we talked about.
This is how it works. You have to wait for me to ask you the question.
Football is what we did. No.
So did you talk about it like this when you said, you know, I watched England play and on the field was Gary Lineker.
Right.
Unfortunately, he was not the Winneker.
Yes. Like, is that... Right. Like poetry.
He said Zlatan Inzaghi.
They said to us, you guys need to do more extracurricular things. And we said, can we come up with our own club? Because none of this, I'm not doing any of the madness you guys want. And they're like, sure, you have to come up with a legit club. And if it is good enough, then, and all of us said, I bet we can con these idiots into making us start a poetry club. Done.
All right, I have one question for you about this poetry club. Because I understand and I get the story of you guys making this wonderful con. What did you do when other people came wanting to, like, they read in the listing there is a poetry club and someone sincerely came in going like, I like poetry. Can I come in the poetry club?
Andrew, there was a stringent interview process.
Andrew, the second everyone saw the members of the poetry club, only the teachers were willing to pretend like they didn't know exactly what they were doing. Everybody else knew. Or you knew whether or not you were going to be part of our poetry club. Like, oh, I see all of the people who are always talking about football sitting there. I should go over there. I like football. Or you went, I know these idiots don't know anything about poetry. I'm going to go to join ISCF or some nonsense. Poetry sucks. Hold on. That's why I know. Is there a poetry channel?
I don't know. When was the last time? Why didn't you just go into the flower arranging club?
Because that would we'd actually had to plant flowers.
Nah.
All right, poetry is in your mind.
It's also in books.
It's no, who cares? Like
it's apparently it's in movies.
Sure. Who is Jamaica's poet laureate? You don't know. You don't care. Do we have one? You don't know or care.
What is a poet laureate?
Exactly.
I just thought it meant that you were a good poet.
I don't know any great poets. None that are alive. That's what goddamn sure. No one cares about poetry. Worldwide, no one cares.
No.
Right?
Jay-Z is.
I'm sure he's a great poet.
Yeah.
And he know it. He makes a rhyme every time. It's really good. He's very good. So when Andrew, a man that literally knows nothing about poetry, is going to say, this movie feels poetic, a word he barely understands because his grasp of the English language is only in the 60th percentile, I get upset. Because it is just a pretentious word for pretentious assholes to say, to sound pretentious, right? It means nothing. What do you mean by the movie feels poetic? Nothing is what you mean by that. That's not a thing. Right? You don't use that in any other context. Does your meal feel poetic? The way that you eat your meal, does the taste remind you of flowers and bright lights? No, dog. Right? You say the movie's pretty because we understand that it's shot beautifully and that is fine. I get that. Right?
Because that's a metric you can
no,
can
it's
measure.
Not a metric, but it is something that makes sense.
No.
I like The Fall, not because The Fall is a great movie, it's because it is beautiful to look at.
It is also a great movie, though.
Not
no,
like,
I love the whimsy of it. I love it. Yeah.
Fine. But if you...
But
the story
but
might
I,
be
I,
terrible.
I could tell you exactly what it means to be poetic.
Oh, sure. Please, tell me.
Of Google. Relating Webster, to or used in poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Written in verse
okay.
rather than prose.
Okay.
Was that movie written in verse rather than prose, Andrew?
For all we know, that's how right, Terrence Malick comes.
I'm being an asshole.
Of course you are.
Having an imaginative or sensitively emotional style of expression.
Yeah, man. Terrence Malick is terrible. He's like, he's really bad.
Upstream Colors. Terrible.
There was years ago when we started this nonsense. I used to be afraid to say things like I didn't like The Thin Red Line because I really didn't. It's one of, like, any list that you come up with, Rich, or the 100 movies you have to see before you drop dead or whatever, that movie is on the list. And so
well,
I watch that movie.
Dead yet.
And that movie sucks. It sucks hard. But people love it so much that I used to be like, no, maybe.
Let's leave them alone.
But the more of his movies that I've seen, I now understand that it is not me that doesn't understand him. It is him that doesn't understand story. And the telling thereof. And the pictures forthwith. Right? He has visions in his head, and then he videotapes them. And then he puts all of them together, shakes it up real hard. Right? And then whatever comes out, he just talks over. And then it ends.
Sir,
what
sir,
sir,
sir. Stop describing Werner Herzog.
Hey, no. Werner Herzog has legit great movies that I will watch anytime, day or night. Terrence Malick will never make a movie I'll watch. He can't do it. It's impossible. He doesn't have the knack. The end.
All right, I think I need to put it out there. I need to find someone terrible. To ghost direct a movie for Malick and put Malick's name on it, just so that David can be proven wrong.
He can't do it, right? It's just like Run Lola Run. I finally, I'm like, I think I like this movie, but then we watched the marathon and I went back. No, dog, no, I don't like that movie because the director has lost his mind. He can direct, sure. Can he tell stories?
Damien, he ruined. 3. How can you ruin a movie with a trailer like that?
How? Remember that movie that we loved and then it ended.
Oh boy.
Remember that movie that ended?
Yeah.
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 Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was yeah. sad. That was
it really was. Upsetting.
Oh
was.
My gosh.
By the way, no one responded on the email where
oh, yeah.
I sent out name.
Dog, of
yes,
course.
I did.
Sure.
Okay. No, you responded with the movie, but you didn't. I don't remember you saying.
I'm pretty sure the first line on my email is "Your proposal is acceptable"
okay.
or something like that.
Acceptable.
Unless I just didn't send that email
send
for some
draft.
Reason. Yeah, you know. But I remember writing it.
It's not there.
It's
yeah.
not there.
All right. Cool.
Sure.
Yeah. All right,
cool.
Sure.
All right.
Where is?
I guess we can start that when we get back from TIFF.
Oops, don't stop hitting the mic. Mic abuses. I've spoken about this many times.
Because I think at this point there's like, what, one or two shows before?
So
yeah, something like that.
I was talking to...
It's 2 weeks. It's yeah. essentially 2 weeks.
Now that the Olympics are over, I've gone back to speaking with normals.
Normies.
And one of them was asking me about good movies to watch this year, and I couldn't come up with one.
Yeah, it's always hard for me to do that. And I don't know which angle you're coming from, whether you're just saying you don't think there are good movies that are going to come out this year, or you're just saying you don't know what you can recommend to this person because they're not crazy people like no, us.
Like, I was thinking back...
Because I'm always on the side of the latter.
It's like, not I'm it's confused. Not movies that are coming out. Uh-huh. It's just movies that have come out.
Or even Keanu. That.
And yeah. I'm like, did good movies come Keanu. Out this year? And...
I like movies that came out this year, I'm sure.
No, I'm sure I did. And then she said, oh, Suicide Squad. I'm like, yeah, that's fun and stupid. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
And
it was alright.
She said, she said that there's people on her Facebook page that was complaining about Harley Quinn, like how she looks in the movie. She's okay. overly sexualized and whatever.
Okay.
And I went, problem? I went, oh, I'm like, I guess so. I mean, that's her character. That's what they wanted to do. So, I mean, it didn't bother me. Yeah. There's things wrong with that movie, but that's not the thing. And she's like,
I mean, but what's the baseline, right? So, okay, she's overly sexualized, which she is very much sexualized in that movie, but is there. What's the.
The thing is.
Are we saying she's overly sexualized because she shouldn't be because of character reasons, yeah. or just because, you know, it's
right.
So the representation of women in movies. What's the issue there?
She was like, yeah, Damien, you wouldn't see a problem because you're a man. And at first I was going to go, that's some bullshit arguments. And then she's like, in the Avengers movie, The Girl, which she called her The Girl.
So Black
yep.
Widow.
Yup. And the truth good. Of the matter is, that's how she's treated in most of those movies. Right. Because what does she do, really?
Which... I chuckled a little bit. She's like, the girl. I'm like, all right, cool, sure. But she's like, she had on, like, full clothes and whatever. And I'm like, all right.
Wait, hold on. Is she saying that the girl, mm-hmm. being Scarlett Johansson, mm-hmm. was not at all sexualized in any of those movies?
I think that she's less sexualized in the movies, in the marketing. She's, like, amped up, which people were always complaining about. The know. Same way that she's people were, like, about Angelina Jolie for Tomb Raider, where they're, like, everything was CG'd out.
She was uh-huh. smart in those
the heftiness.
smart-looking in those movies, yes.
And to be honest, Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson, didn't have a character until Captain America 2.
Yeah, I think Captain America 2 was the only one where she was actually an essential part of something.
But
And I'm really happy, by the way, that she's getting her own movie. I really want to see. What I'd love is, as much as we're all like, no origin stories, I want to see her in Russia. I want to see her from before she was...
I want to see
that fake Russian accent.
Oh, that would be funny, actually.
I'd love
yeah.
to see the story I'm reading in the comic books now.
I don't... Stop reading comic books.
I don't know
stop.
Or care.
Right, so what she was essentially getting... She's like, in the trailers, she seems naked all the time. And I went... Yeah, no, she kind of is naked all the time. And she's like, why? Because comic book... listen. I don't care. Like, if you don't want to watch a movie, come up with better reasons. And she got upset because she thought that I was saying that is not a legit complaint.
All right, so hold on. Does she like Fast and Furious?
No, just hold
because...
on. Because... I'm going somewhere with this.
Oh, okay.
She started getting annoyed, and I said to her, I said, all right, listen, it's all fun and it's all well and good to be upset because of things people write on the internet. But there's real shit happening in this world. Okay? Bitching about a costume on a girl in a cartoon movie is not one of them. Don't give a shit. You asked me if there was any good movies, and then you said the name of a movie. And I said, yeah, why not? And you're now upset with me because I watch and enjoy the movie where one of the characters is scantily clad for the entire movie. That's not why I like the movie. If I want to see naked women or scantily clad women, there's this thing I have in my pocket, right?
That is beside snow in our pockets.
That is beside another thing that I have in my pants. And they talk to each other a lot. One says, are there naked women? And the other answers the question, right? And she's like, David, like, why? There's other people, because it was our lunchroom conversation. There's other people kind of laughing, because it was like, I'm like, listen, guys, it's fun, right? We complain about these things in lieu of real conversations. But if you're going to bring feelings into this, like Douglas, then you've crossed a line. Don't get upset because of shitty movies. But
sorry. Douglas brings feelings, not reasons.
No, he doesn't need reasons. All he needs is the feeling that he has within him. And you clearly only need the poetry. But, like, we've had that conversation on this podcast before about whatever, and
about level of importance.
Right, having the conversation in, because this is a thing about movies. We talk about movies here and pretend that the rest of the world doesn't matter, which is fine. Because if we talked about bad shit, you know, like, no one would listen to it. I would listen to podcasts if we talk about the real world, because it's terrible out there. But to have it happen in a regular conversation and to see someone like pretending to be upset about a thing no one really cares about. Like, who cares about comic book movies? They're comic book movies. They're dumb. By their very nature, they're people with superpowers. A thing that doesn't happen.
Thor doesn't have a superpower.
You're right. He has a super hammer.
It's God. It's God powers.
But then when the conversation was over, someone said something that made me, like, immediately want to retract all of the things that I said. A guy came to me and said, yeah, sometimes you just watch the naked woman.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, and at that point, you're like, you know what? Not on his side.
Like, the second the words come,
you're like, maybe I should have argued more for her putting on a pair of pants.
Yeah.
Jesus. Like, oh no, I mean, alright, fine. I'll accept that. I'm in the wrong here. And both of us, like, when he said it, me and the girl, both of us laughed because it was so ridiculous what he said. I'm like, alright, no, I changed my mind. Don't watch this movie. Should stop boycotting all these movies until they put clothes on these women, because it's ridiculous. We can't have people like him having any excuse to say shit like that. Like, hearing a real world, like, it's not Twitter. It's not like a YouTube. Like, it was like a live action YouTube comment.
And then you just present the Ghostbusters to them and be like,
oh yeah, oh, but Ghostbusters is it still in the theaters?
No,
right. I need to watch Ghostbusters again. That's what I need to do.
Can't wait to watch that movie again. I don't know. I'm assuming awesome. In the next few months. The next couple months.
But yeah, I had a real life Tom conversation.
In the real world.
In the real world.
Without us.
Right, without you two.
Shouting, Damien, stop bringing up cereal.
And then had a YouTube comment.
At the end of it. Do you just call it YouTube comment though?
I should. You wouldn't get it, though. That's the sad part. Just, like,
I
never thought it would happen.
I remember hearing a story of an office issue where a young black woman was in an office and her superior, an older white man, came to her and said, sorry, first time meeting, what's your name? And she says her name.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was, but let's just pretend it was a name, right?
Yeah, well, I don't even know if it was, but I know where the story is going. So
he decided to say in response, I I don't know how to pronounce black names, so I'm not going to try. And then kind of just shrugs it off. Mm-hmm. At that point, her decision to move forward is to call him generic white people names. Mm-hmm. Like Steve, Brad.
Right.
Just down the line. It gets so bad that everyone in the office starts playing along.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He eventually has to come down and beg forgiveness. Yeah. At which point she just goes, Chad, be quiet.
And it became it became a big internet meme. Mm-hmm. Somehow, she must have posted this or maybe somebody in the office posted it. This is what I need
you to be doing
just,
at your office with YouTube comments.
Yeah, I
just get the rest of the office to play along and eventually...
Like, I just have to, like, keep... Like, I just have to be on my P's and Q's at all times. Because if someone, like...
Asks you what move is good.
Right, like... When she's like, I thought nothing of it. I'm like, listen, it's just movies. Like, who gives a shit? Like, let's not.
Damon, you don't seem to understand how happy I was when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, you know, because I was able to say, this is a movie people will like. I understand this. As opposed to most times when they're like, what movie did you go to and what movie is good did you think about last year? I'm like, Fear and Loathing, Bronson,
Have you seen Rambo?
No, I told you guys about my latest. What good movies have you seen? Story at work.
I don't know. Did you?
You should stop talking to you.
Which one was this?
Guy came to me and they, as I said, every time they figure out, oh, you're the movie person, right? So he's like, Suicide Squad. It's any good? I'm like, it's all right. It's okay. I'm like, he's like, really? I thought it'd be great. I'm like, yeah, whatever. He's like, he looks at me weirdly for a minute. And then thinks a follow-up question is required. He's like, I must figure out this dude's, like, beta. What do you think is great? I stop and I think for a second. And I immediately go, look, I can't set upstream color. And I can't set...
Yeah, you shouldn't. You shouldn't set upstream color.
He's not going to know what the freak that is. I'm, like, thinking about this for a minute. You know what? Mad Max Fury Road. That movie is great. Mm-hmm. You guys should have seen that by now. He's like... Yeah, that movie's okay. and then my poor judgment says, I must follow up this with a question.
You know, in this conversation.
I'm like, so what is it you think is great, sir? I'm going to judge you now. Mm-hmm. And he sits there and he thinks for a moment, Transformers 3. That was a great movie. I almost cried during that movie. At which point, I turned around, popped on my headphones, and continued doing my work.
What's your name again? I just need to write this down. I won't even talk to your family.
Just be like, all right, Chad.
Yes. Sure, Chet.
Chip. Chip, that note. No, Chip. Chip.
I miss Dave Chappelle. Oh, God, I miss Dave Chappelle. Neil Brennan isn't doing it. He's... funny, but he's not Chappelle funny.
Who's that fellow?
He's the guy that helped create the Chappelle show.
Dave Chappelle. Has a show now?
He has stand-up albums.
I know that name.
Is he the short kind of chubby one?
No, he's the short. He's a regular height MAGA white guy. He's a white dude.
Oh, okay.
And he's...
Okay. So he was funny. Behind the scenes and he was
on screen. He's really funny, but he's not Chappelle funny. Which is unfair, but I don't have any new Chappelle to listen to. She was purple, gangless rock.